What do you love about estate agency?
Everything.
What? Come on. What do you love about? What do you hate about it?
The industry. So good question. The industry as a whole, I hate, but I love it at the same time. It's a real love-hate relationship that I've got, I think, with estate agency.
Why is that?
I love it for what it does for people. I hate it for how it does it at times.
When you say for people, what are we talking about? Estate agents, vendors, purchasers?
Everyone.
Okay.
So, let me just... I know that's quite a big thing there, but our company kind of mission is to enable more people to move on to that chapter of their life.
Yes.
That doesn't say enable more homeowners. It's more people. So, it's our team, our agents, our clients. It's...
Because it didn't. If remember, because we've had a chat before about your life, and if someone wants to go into a lot more detail, we can show them the videos at the end. But you started your agency because of a bad experience with what your mum went through. Is that right?
Yeah. So from the age of 12, it's all I've ever wanted to do, and I've dedicated my teen years.
And now you're 17. So, yeah. How old are you now?
32 next month.
There you go. Oh, nice one.
And so yeah, it. It's one of those things that I feel like I have no choice because I've committed so much time to it, to keep doing it.
Okay.
But at the same time, I love it anyway.
But there's plenty of people out there that have committed an awful lot of time and feel they're trapped in the industry.
Yeah, but I feel like I've got unfinished business with it.
Okay.
I haven't achieved yet. Haven't achieved what I want to achieve from a business perspective, from an industry perspective. I'm all about change. I'm excited by the problems in... I'm excited by the bumps in the road with what I'm trying to do with Power Spoke.
I mean, when did you, okay, so I know you set up an agency with a business colleague, what, in 2010?
10, yeah.
And you were there for 3 years and then decided that, I mean, going into business with a friend, quite often, let's be honest, it's hard work. So you set up by yourself in 2014?
October 13, formed the company. I had a few months of helping out him in Croydon.
Yeah.
But then January 14 was like, we're live.
Okay, and you started from your bedroom.
Yeah.
Okay. How long did it take you before you grew out of that?
40, 15, about 18 months.
Okay. And did you go onto the high street?
No, I went into a one-man office in a Regis serviced office building.
Okay.
Managed to squeeze 3 people in it by the end of it.
Yeah. And then you've gone out and you work in a farm now.
Yeah, now we've got a lovely work.
So you're not selling houses, you're basically ploughing the fields and scattering the seed.
Milking cows.
Here you go. Are there any cows on the farm?
There aren't, but it's a working farm.
Oh, lovely.
Just not a meat farm
okay.
or a dairy farm.
It's called arable.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, well, I come from Lincolnshire.
That's the arable, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was looking selfishly as well for the right space near to my house and my kids because I'm separated from my first child's mother.
Yes.
And I wanted to be in Reigate because I like Reigate. It's a nice area. I live just down the road from Reigate, not in Reigate. And now we've got
it's the posh bit next to Gatwick.
And now we've got just a nice workspace, loads of parking, and it's a lovely little space.
Now, a few years ago, you decided to go down the hub model route, where like you would have self-employed people working with you. What made you do that?
Two reasons. One, the future of making money. And by that, I mean employment. You know, people need to earn money, period. Let's not beat around the bush. They want to join companies that align with them, that align with themselves, but they also need to make money, and okay. good money as well, to support the family, go on nice holidays. Anyone says it ain't all about the money. Anyone says it ain't about the money is lying. It's not all about the money.
It's money stops you having... Money gives you, enables you to get things. It doesn't buy you happiness.
No, agreed. But happiness is within, you know, you've got to be the right company. So anyway.
Okay, now, again, in that previous video, we don't want to go over old ground, but in a nutshell, you were doing really well in 14, 15 and 16, but you lost the love for estate agency in 17.
Yeah. Yeah, that was very much a case of, I was loving the role of an estate agent, but owning and running an estate agency profitably was killing me. I was out of my depth, and I just...
So you were a bloody good estate agent, but a rubbish businessman.
Yeah, and I got into a bit of a rut. I got into a few problems that I didn't think would have been...
Well, if memory says, well, again, we'll tag back the video. but you were going to end up losing about, I think it was like 100 grand that year.
It was a 50 grand problem. Yeah, I was probably going to end up
it
the
was,
year losing 100, but by the
yeah.
time I'd met my saviour, my
Well,
coach, we were.
what super Perry was going to lose 50, 100 grand in a year? This was a few years ago. And what was that? Just, but you're a systems man. You love your systems. Surely you'd have better your.
Miss financial management, not owning the numbers too well, letting the accountant giving him too much, not checking up on the accountant on the numbers, that kind of stuff. Spending more than was coming in because I'm a massive early adopter of everything that comes out, and sometimes got to rein that in.
So you were spending more than you had were coming in. How did that make you feel from the good times of 14, 15 when you were putting trees up?
Terrible, isn't it? Like when you have that realization that you've been busting your balls, and I was busting my balls as well, like from my bedroom, and I just a PA trying to sell more property, to then realize that I've gone up to this nice big unit, and
Lots of staff and
team outgoings, and we're actually
paying the wages and
it's just not a good business. Yeah, it wasn't a good business on paper, although it might look shiny on the outside.
how did your missus feel at this time?
I keep
Did you
thinking,
know that where you were?
not really. No, I don't think anyone really did. I'm quite a keeps the fun the lid a little bit.
Did you know inside in your heart that you weren't enjoying it?
Yeah, the battle, the struggle of trying to make it work, and realizing that everything I'm freaking doing ain't working. What, there comes a point where you just think, F this. Let's go. I could have earned 100 grand a year working with someone probably at that point because I was pretty. So I was like, oh. But then I dug deep, recalibrated, got a good coach, and
Was it keeping you up at night?
I say like hesitantly because for some reason nothing stops me sleeping because I think my brain takes me. I think I'm such a thinker that I can't not sleep, but it's keeping me up later at night thinking about it. Yeah. I won't lay in bed thinking, like worrying about it, because as soon as my head hits the pillow, I'm out for the count.
So you've got this business coach, Royston Guest. Let's be honest, there's plenty of coaches out there.
I've had a few of them as well. He's not my first coach ever. I had coaches at the time when the business was in trouble.
What I know he basically chooses you, you don't choose him, but what lessons did you learn from being coached by him?
Oh, it's crazy. So many. But
I mean, your big one is knowing the numbers, isn't it?
numbers,
He's big on that, isn't he?
knowing your numbers. But not only that, it's not my job. It's my job to know the numbers of the business. But I can't know my numbers of the business if our team don't know their numbers. So it's them. It's the culture. It's the new breed of data-led, high-performing agents is what Royston's really crystallised for us. New breed, that's really important. Knowing your numbers. As an example, for the viewers out there, something you shared with me that I was like, that's incredible. And was that I think it was the English rugby team or something. They all wear these mad monitors whilst they're training to monitor their movements and speed and stuff. And the coach at the time didn't say, well done, guys. You need to speed up a little bit. You need to slow down a little bit. He gave them the laptop at the end of the game to all the players and said, go spend a couple of hours knowing and owning and dissecting your own numbers. So we're on me to know what your average days of market are, what your average negotiation increase is from initial offer to sale agreed, what your lag days from appraisal to instruction is. But you need to know it. So it's getting that culture for the
Because
business.
the one thing that blew my mind about what he says is that some people know what their conversion rate is from free val to listing, and some know what their conversion rate is from listing to free val, and some people know where most of their vals came from, Valpal or AVM or word of mouth, but they're very standalone figures, aren't they? Whilst what he's done is that the most profitable,
Let's put it all together.
Yes, there might be standalone numbers, but where did most of, let's be honest, we're all in it for exchanges. Where did most of your exchanges come from? Which source? And what do the numbers look like? And then you can work on that because it's the old 20-80-20 rule, isn't it?
And what's mad is we think we all know it, but the data proves it now, and I can confirm it, is that the best source is recommendation. And because your average days on market have been less, your average days for exchange have been less, your average days from appraisals and structure will be less because they trust you. When you say it's time to reduce the price, they're going to reduce the price because, you know.
Haven't you got this 19 or 21 step, I can't remember how many numbers, step plan that you set up a plan when you put a house on the market?
Yeah. So I've simplified it a little bit because it was too
What's the number down
complicated.
now to?
11.
11, that's
So
not bad.
it's a nice number. We've got an 11-step plan to sell for a premium price. The agents follow it, implement it. It's the blueprint to put in front of the seller on appraisal. Makes it real. It's what we're going to do. So stuff like that. I had all the. One of the great things with Royston as well, as a coach, and this is what any coach should do for somebody, is I should go there with a list of ideas. Right, I've got an app, notes on my phone with all. I'll probably think of something on my own today, and rather than going back to the office and making some massive radical change, probably going to unsettle the team as it's growing. I'll put it on the list. We'll discuss it. It will like, right, that one, that one, that one. Park them. That one. Implement the crap out of it. That's a great one. Yeah.
Now, you've now found the love because you've got your focus in the right direction. You are a little bit of an agent who tinkers with, well, more than tinkers, really involved with prop tech. Go through some of the prop tech that you use, and let's start at the front end, which is more your prospecting thing, and we can move through about through stuff like sales progression and
Yeah.
team management later. What are your favourite bits of prop tech? That
Fa favorite,
basically,
or do you mean a massive list?
I
Because
thought you did.
you didn't even know. I didn't know you asked this question, but I keep a running list of all the tech we use in Power Bespoke.
Okay,
But
I want you to talk to the guys at home about the stuff that makes a real difference to your business. So I
fine.
don't want to know all 50 of them because you are a bit of a tech freak, humbly enough,
Select.
see.
No, get that. That's my biggest strength and biggest weakness, all in one at a time.
Okay.
Our biggest source and conversion has come from wall mappies, right?
Wall mappies.
Wall mappies, LPVs, whatever you want to call them, local property vendors. And I.
Sorry, I don't understand. I'm being thick.
So applicants that register off the back of a house you're advertising and wanting to view it or have into
Local
offer.
owned sales, yes.
Yeah. Now this isn't no remain. This is the thing with estate agents in 2019. I think it's almost gone full circle in that, like Tesco's went butchers,
Yeah.
and now they've gone. You kind of local butchers are starting to come back a little bit. I think we've gone that almost in that. It's just back to basics in this different market. It's back to basics really, really well. So we don't pump Facebook so much. It costs money, and any overspend at the minute is unless you can directly relate it to money in the bank within 6 months, in my view. If you're
Yeah.
spending a grand, 2 grand, you need to see it in the bank within 6 months.
Yeah, because there's plenty of people out there that, use Facebook advertising and they say they've got X number of leads, but what's a lead? A name and a number?
And I, that might be bank, that might be money in 2 years' time, 3 years' time. But if you're spending 2 grand now, you need an ROI straight away. So the good thing with your wall mappers or your local property vendors, if you're categorizing them well and managing your database properly, they're free to acquire because they're coming from the properties advertising already.
Yes, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You put one on that, another one
Yeah,
comes on.
one
Yeah.
house brings 10 inquiries, five of a house to sell. It's your job to get in the living room of 40% of those five.
Even if they just want to, I want to know what your house is worth.
Yeah, but it's
Yeah.
very unlikely they want to know that because they're inquiring about houses. So they're probably actually quite far down the either on the market or going to go on the market.
Yeah.
So the quality's really
Do you think
good.
agents are rubbish at that?
Oh
You must see it from the other side.
yeah, I'd say so. Because also the best source of business is the stuff that's not yet sold with other agents. You can get them a million ways, touting them, Facebook targeting them, but just the fact they're on the database, it's free to acquire. You give them a call, your inroads easy, just checking in. I see you inquired about a house of us last week. Did you see how good the pictures were? Oh yeah, lovely pictures, Perry. Great, that's because we do pro photography on everything we market. Once you're trying to pop round, have a chat about your move. And it's progressing that client, and the conversion rate from that is nice, and it's about 40%. So say you've got 10 wall mappies,
Yep.
you will
Local owned sales.
local home to sales, you should be targeting yourself, in my view, to get into at least four of them. And until you can prove you can do that, you shouldn't spend a penny on nothing.
Shouldn't spend on any marketing or anything
Any
like
marketing. And 50% is a bit strict, you know, to say to get in the door of five, six, seven people out of 10, that'd be a tall order. If you get in the market of two in, if you're getting in the room of two in 10, you've got to improve yourself. Four in 10's a good number.
And how many of those 4 in 10 do you think they should be looking to put on the market?
50% of what you go and see.
So that's 2 out of 10 in essence. For every
Yeah.
house that comes on the market, you should get two off the back of it.
Yeah, well, I track on living room, sitting in living rooms rather than what comes on the market. And then there's different agents track on what goes to market and what they win. So some guys have got 60% conversion, 80%
Do you have
conversion
any
rate.
prop tech that helps you with that then?
Yes. It's not really prop tech, it's just tech. So it's
Okay.
like a really good email nurture system. So here's how our office works, right? You've got the front end of the office, the agent assistants that kind of register all, answer all the calls. Agents do not answer calls. The only calls they should be making are outgoing ones.
So you've got self-employed agents that basically work with you, and then you have people in the office that are employees that
I
are,
employ them to
yeah.
support the agents, yeah. So we've got our front end amazing girls in the office. They take all the calls, register all the buyers, book all the viewings, and part of their job is to categorise them properly. If we've got this great accountability thing in the office that if they don't say, oh great, when's a good time for a buyer to pop round and give advice about your house? That's all they've got to say, because I know one in 10 of people, when it's at 10 people, one are going to say yes.
Yes,
Right? So
you've got to ask the question, aren't you?
that's a 10% conversion straight away. They haven't got to be a
Yes.
sales machine. So that happens. Nine in 10 might say no, that's fine. Then they go into a nurture series, like an email nurture. So, hey John, thanks for registering for the house vote today. I'll see you be selling a house soon. Click here to get our 11-step plan. That then filters through. Some people reply to an email saying, can you pop round to give us some advice? If they don't, it's not really prop tech, but prop service. We've then got Prospect Engine behind the scenes,
Great people.
who are
Rubbish market.
sweeping up these people on a booking, on a carried out only
Yes,
payment
because
scheme.
if your negs are too busy, you need something to almost sweep up the sweepings up, don't
Yeah.
you? Just to make sure nothing gets missed.
So from a business level, we've got that sweep up, but a non-negotiable. So we've got an A and B agent model. So our non-negotiable for A agents is they've got to be in the office on a Friday, banging the phones. Now, they could be banging the phones, ringing their past buyers from the last 2 years. It hasn't got to be cold. It's just proactive, connecting, stroke
Do you
prospecting.
think bringing everyone together means that no one can hide and go to Marks & Spencer's then?
Yeah. And it's not even about, you know, I say non-negotiable. There's times when Nicole can't make it because her son's off school for the week. You know, that's cool. Like, it's half term. But 3 out of 4, really, for your own personal targets, you should be there. If I've got to force you to do it, then there's a problem.
So, do you think that's a great tip for people out there that if you go do some cold calling or just warm calling, get everyone together in a
Get
room
together,
together?
yeah, bounce off each other's energy.
Excellent, excellent. What other prop tech do you use that makes a real difference?
So for the sales progression side,
Why not?
yeah, we use Mio. I said that right?
Yeah, you have.
And Mio, really good, really simplifies and systemizes the progression process.
Okay, but surely that's what your CRM system should do, isn't it?
Yeah, the issue with CRM, I think, at the minute, in general, is that they don't do anything really good.
How
They
would
do a
you?
lot of things, but you couldn't possibly have the budget to make the matching, the diary, the sales progression, the reporting, all the things you really want in the perfect CRM. No company, I don't think, has the budget to make them all world class
I'm with you.
or country class. Whereas Mio focuses on that one great thing.
So what does Mio actually do for you then?
So because we've got a dedicated progressive in the office, it's kind of her CRM. It's kind of her dashboard,
Okay.
and she all orders, sales and chains are in there. She can just tick some milestones. Sellers can get a nice quick overview where it's at.
Well, that's nice because let's be honest, that government report about the housing process, the biggest gripes is communication, so that helps with that.
Yeah.
Does it give too much information away? Because you know, if you give people too much.
Yeah, it'd be dangerous as well. So what I love about it is it's beautiful. It's powerfully simple. Simplicity is a core thing that I love.
Perry Power, I like
That's it,
that,
that's
yeah.
it. And the other thing is it's just enough, but not too much.
I'm with you. What about you as a boss? Do you have to go into each file and see if it, or is there like an overview dashboard that you can keep an eye on everything?
That's what I love about it for our setup is that I get a nice quick overview. You log in and you've got 10 milestones. You've got like this real nice journey. So you've got 10 milestones outstanding, you've got four waiting to exchange. I love that. It stops me having to say to Jen every 2 minutes, what's going on with that? What's going on? but the agents also get logins for just their, so Jen can progress the whole company's
Yes.
sales. Agents log in and can just see their sales. Clients can log in and just see their sale.
Doesn't it need other agents down the chain to be on it for it to work better?
For it to work better, but not for it to work.
So really it's a case of
It can only get better as time goes on, but it's in its current form, it's still really useful from a.
does it help agents who are not on it? Because I think you can send out like little notes to them, can't you? Agents of what the chain's about. Obviously keeping the right side of GDPR.
Yeah, so you can add a little note or tick a milestone. And the milestones are great. I'm sure there's 10 agents would want 10 different milestones. But I think the thing is, if there's one conform way of doing things, everyone's
Okay.
got the same thing to conform to.
I mean, how long have you been with, you've been with them now, 3 or 4 months?
Yeah, not a huge amount of time. And there's been a few ups and downs in the business with
But you
my.
obviously think a lot of it, because you wouldn't be sat here after 3 or 4 months if you didn't
Yeah.
think it was good.
It's one of those things that can be business changing. Because I've tracked, our
You
average
are
age.
Mr. PropTech, if you don't mind me saying. I mean, you and Christian Byfield, between you, if neither of you have had it, I won't even touch it. I had the Mad Axeman up to Grantham a few weeks ago, bless him.
I'll come up there now
Yeah,
then.
you
We should
are.
have both come up. Doing
Yeah,
awesome.
a few beers, curry.
Yeah,
Are you allowed to come north of the river? Yes, well, you just, we're at King's Cross now. Yeah.
I'll draw Tash let me out for one day.
Okay, get your passport out.
Yeah,
Oh, no, not allowed turtlenecks up there, sorry, mate.
I know. I've got a
Oh,
trademark off.
yeah.
Never mind. Never mind.
Go on, mate, sorry.
And it's there's these few little things that come along, and I'm like, that's going to really help out
I mean, I know you don't
systemization.
do lettings, but
We do a little bit,
okay.
but nothing to write home
Okay,
about.
but is it up there with Fixed Flow? Wow. Because let's be honest, Fixed Flow, I mean, I love Fixed Flow, by the way.
And it's one of these techs that, like Fixed Flow, that actually solve a genuine problem, rather than these barrage of tech that
Oh.
comes your way that, like, you're trying to solve something that doesn't exist. But sales progression, days, fall through rates, one.
What's it done to your business in terms of for you, your staff, and ultimately your business? What has Mio done for you?
So for the team, it's serving their informational needs far better. And by that, I mean the agent. Bearing in mind that our guys are self-employed and they've
Yes.
got a third party, albeit an employed person, but progressing their sales. They want to know where their
Yeah.
money's at because they're getting paid when it banks. So I'm always tracking the days to exchange for the business, but also that aligns with the agent's goals as well. The quicker their money comes in, quicker in the bank. So the informational needs are great. The simplification of progression, now that's quite a big thing, but let's say Jen's off for a couple of weeks because she's
Yeah.
allowed a staff holiday. And then Georgie, who predominantly does the front end of the office, booking the viewings and stuff, needs to cover. It's not shipping Treadwater for a couple of weeks because it's very nicely visual. Like, what's the next
Okay.
milestone? Have you got searches back yet? Tick. No, I haven't. No, I haven't.
Yeah, I've got to go through the notes and wonder what she's thinking
You
there.
haven't got to be like the world's best progressor for it to benefit the business, but the better you get at progression
Okay.
and using it, the better it will become.
And what about you overall? Where do you think it's going to take? Where do you think Mio's going to take your business?
It will allow us to handle more volume with less people, which on one hand is a great thing, on the other hand is a bad thing, but business is all about efficiencies and it's a massive efficiency saver.
Well, firstly, can I thank you for coming here today?
Pleasure.
You're not being paid to be here. Neither am I being
I am
paid
being
to.
paid
Are you?
in
In
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. Well, I'm having some fizzy water. I've known the Mio guys now for a good 12, 18 months and always liked the product and met them at a show recently and said, if you can bring some people who I trust, which is you and Simon, to come and talk about it, I'll bring the film crew down and we'll chat it through. And I hope that's been useful for you. Check them out, as I said, and take it from there. So thank you very much.
Good man, good to see you.